back to the broadcast, my friends. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer with Lori and Gary and Chris. Appreciate you joining the broadcast. John Lamb just sent me a text. The text I just got from John Lamb said he's going to come on tomorrow. He's in a meeting with the lawyers right now, and awesome. they have half a day of court tomorrow, and he will be on tomorrow night with an update. And we have the clip that we're going to play with him pre-recording earlier today, some updates from this morning, so this is perfect. So there's the latest from John Lamb, and we're going to get a clip from Lori. We're going to get to that, Lori, right now, or did you want to tie up some other loose ends?
Absolutely. I just wanted to, you know, with the mainstream fake news and all of that, I would love to see the people that are affected by that, Mrs. Bundy and the other ones, file lawsuits against these media organizations, because they now know. Readout News has it in there. We're going to have it in the link below the show. You can see it yourself. The documents are provided for you in that Readout News article. They've been very good at providing whatever they can provide. And I think that there should be some serious lawsuits filed, because that's the only way they're going to stop doing this.
Absolutely. I firmly believe in that. Yep. They're going to have to wait till after this round of trials, because they usually don't entertain a lawsuit while you're in the middle of being, you know, while you're a defendant on trial. But that's definitely the next step. I agree totally, and I'd be willing to help them with that in any way. Obviously, yes. Great idea.
We can help gather the clips for them. That's not a problem.
Yes, ma'am. Are we ready?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Let's go ahead and get to the update from John Lamb, and then I have something else to follow up on pertaining kind of to that. And we also have a caller, and we will get to you in just a few minutes, Jim. Please hold on. And if you would, go ahead and play the clip of the update from John Lamb, Mike.
Good morning. This is John Lamb. I'm reporting down here from Las Vegas Federal Courthouse. We got some new dates. This is day 10 of the jury trial. We have not had the jurors at all in the courtroom at all today, or a witness so far on the stand. We'll go over some of these motions that were being brought up by the defense team today. It has been really a big day and a good day for the defense team again. We have had nothing but arguments of motions all day long so far. And like I said, none of the jurors have been in the room, no witnesses so far, just all arguments and emotions. We're still arguing over this missing information that the prosecution has failed to release to us of FBI reports and stuff. One of the things that seems very interesting to me today that I took out of this is that the government today gave a 15-page threat analysis that has been wrote up by the prosecution or the FBI. They've turned it over this morning. It's brand new. Turned it over to the defense. There's no date on it, not even a date. And the defense team wants to know when this was issued. It just vaguely talks about different dates in the past, in 2012, and some of it's even as far back as 2008. We know that several of these reports were given back then before the impoundment, but this report looks like it's been freshly written. It doesn't even look like it's an old report, that a report that's been missing. And the defense team wants to know the date of this report, and who issued the report? Who is the one that wrote it up? And how does it fit into this? Mr. Whipple said, with all the thousands and thousands of pages of discovery, today is the first day he's actually got to see this one. This is brand new as of today. The government has been trying to keep out all this, claiming they don't have it, they can't find it, there's no such thing as it. But as Ryan Payne's attorney today pointed out, there are two witnesses that already have said that this information existed. They referred to it in their testimonies, and still the prosecution claims that it does not exist and they don't have it. It seems like It seems like the government just keeps records to benefit itself. That's one of the biggest questions here. Why isn't this stuff relevant? Why isn't it available? Where did it go to? The defense team wants to know this kind of stuff. And the government keeps claiming it isn't going to help the defense anyway. It has nothing to do with this case. It's irrelevant. They don't need it in the first place. Well, how do we know we don't need it if we don't have it? That's the big question. Why are we taking their word for it? The government has been lying from day one on this case, and it's been proven in this courtroom in the last 10 days. They keep bringing up the snipers. They keep bringing up the video cameras, how it's not relevant to this case. Stephen Myrie today even stated, he stated that it doesn't matter if there was 1,000 BLM agents and law enforcement agents pointing guns at these protesters. It doesn't matter. They still had no right to self-defense. They had no right to be out there protesting the way they protested. They had a First Amendment zone set up. That's where they belonged inside of. These protesters violated all this. They threatened federal officers, is his argument. And all of this, up until now, has nothing to do with all of these missing documents. We know that there was bags and bags of shredded documents that the government has still continued to disclaim, that they don't know nothing about it. And we still can't find the witnesses to corroborate what Dan Love has said, because they've refused to give these names and refused to allow these witnesses on the stand. I don't know what witnesses are going to be added to the witness list of yet. It hasn't been made public. But Dan Hill, Ammon Bundy's attorney, made an announcement today that he would like to amend the witness list. I'm going to assume that witness list could include Nadia Ahmed. I don't know for sure yet, but that's the way it could appear, because they are definitely, the prosecution team has been hiding stuff, with the fact that this prosecuting attorney, assistant prosecutor that's been on this case this whole time, she was at the standoff. She was there days before. She was involvement in the civil allegations against Mr. Bundy from way back. So there's a ton of stuff that's still being disclosed, even as of today. We are hoping the jurors get to come into room shortly after lunch here. We had an early lunch break. We're supposed to be back in there at 12:30 Nevada time here. And we're going to bring Mr. Petrie back up on the stand. He's going to still finish with the questioning the defense has. And they have a lot of questions they plan on asking him regarding this threat analysis that's been given out by multiple parties. They have other questions they want to ask him, if he recalls some of this new discovery that was brought out today that he should have known as being the number one attorney involved in the civil allegations against Mr. Bundy. And so a lot of new stuff is coming out. We're looking forward to the rest of the day, but it's definitely looking good for the defense at this time, and it really has shown us some more good evidence on what this prosecution has been hiding all along. And I know there's going to be more coming out the way things are going. I want to make an announcement. I haven't heard yet from Portland, Oregon, but Daryl Thorne, his sentencing is happening right now in Portland, Oregon. We expect that he's possibly going to get 33 months with this sentencing, but we do not know yet what that outcome is. At least I haven't been told. I made a few phone calls over there before this live stream, but currently they are still in that sentencing as we're speaking. So hopefully we'll have you an update about him later on today. Keep praying for all these guys. There's some strong guys up here in this courtroom. They're fighting strong. This is the time they've been looking forward to prove their innocence, to get the full truth out, as Ryan Bundy has been saying. Thanks again, everybody. God bless. Keep praying for us. We'll see you later tonight.
So apparently... Okay.
Government reports with no dates on them? Are you kidding me?
No dates, Eric, not even knowing who wrote it. It could have been someone off of Twitter or a person off of the street.
It's hearsay.
Exactly.
It never, right. Well, that they would present that. It is fraudulent. These are direct spin-off of the Nazis. They keep meticulous records on everything. Believe me, they get a file on everything and everybody. They conveniently lost this or destroyed it and then came out with some BS to try to cover their tracks.
Right. The dog ate my homework.
Yeah. Right, right. And did you also notice, this is something I picked up on that I found very funny, because the defense kept on saying that certain evidence didn't exist. But then they kept saying that it's not relevant to the case. Well, if it doesn't exist, then how is it not relevant to the case?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying. You can't have something that, oh, well, you don't need that because it's not relevant to the case if you don't have it in the first place, correct? I'm just saying. So that was another tidbit of information that's going on in the Bundy trials that is Ryan Bundy, Ammon Bundy, Clive and Bundy, and Ryan Payne going on in Las Vegas, Nevada. As John reported, they will be there. Eric reported that John let him know that there will be court tomorrow, but not the full day, partial day tomorrow. Also, as you know, we've been reporting the connection with the Uranium One connection, going in detail how it ties to Clinton, how it ties to the Obama administration. You know, this is one thing I find funny. When President Obama was in office, it was always Bush's fault. There was nothing President Obama did. It was always Bush's fault. Now that Trump is in office, you don't hear anything about Obama. It's Trump's fault. What, did we not have President Obama for 8 years? I mean, I'm just asking, because if it's either Bush's fault or Trump's fault, there's no Obama that's existing in the fault of anything. When it comes
to it's the forces that pull their both of their strings. Those are bought and paid for men. The both of them are
right. So let me just say this, okay? As you know, Eric, I have on different occasions, when people on mainstream media are pulling out that connection with Hillary Clinton and Uranium One, we want to keep pounding this because this is directly connected to the attack upon the American people. So yep, Judge Jeanine, yep. As you know, Judge Jeanine Pirro, a couple of weeks ago, I played a clip with her in there. Well, now you're going to love this. She is not only connecting the dots with Clinton and Obama administration into Uranium One deal and the corruption, quote unquote, pay to play, which basically you might as well, what that means is RICO violations, everyone. And she is also going after Sessions for his congressional hearing and what he said in that, and I'm going to let you hear that yourself. If you would, Mike, go ahead and play LV3.
Ooh, a good witch.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't believe that the deep state existed after watching Attorney General Jeff Sessions testify before Congress this week. You should now. I don't know what the problem is, but I'm telling you, there is one. When Russia sells 20% of America's uranium, when the Clinton Foundation gets $145 million, when Bill gets a $500,000 speaking fee from the Kremlin-connected company financing the deal, when Buddy Barack allows Bill to meet with the head of the Russian Nuclear Energy Commission, and the Obama administration's Committee on Foreign Investment approves the sale, tone deaf to the concerns of Republican national security experts. No surprise, 7 of the 9 CFIUS members who approved the sale are connected to the Clinton Foundation. There's a problem, folks, and that problem needs to be investigated. So
yeah,
what's the problem? Why isn't this in front of a grand jury? Why no special counsel? Why is it so difficult for Jeff Sessions to answer a straight question? Why does it appear he's not even clear on whether and what he's recused from? Take a look.
You have the authority today, subject to your recusal, to appoint a special counsel to investigate the Uranium One matter.
I believe I do.
Do you have the authority to appoint a special counsel to investigate the Fusion GPS dossier?
I don't believe that I should be talking about and evaluating cases here today. So if I'm not recused, I have the authority, yes, and the duty and the responsibility to make that decision.
And why does it take him months to respond to a congressional oversight committee? His response wouldn't even need to be made public.
But my concern is, we sent you a letter 3.5 months ago asking for a second special counsel. And if you're now just considering it, what's it going to take to get a special counsel?
It will take a factual basis that meets the standards of the appointment of a special
counsel. And is
counsel.
That?
Factual basis? Okay, let's try a different angle. The Clinton campaign and the DNC, which we now know were one and the same, much to Bernie's detriment, and the FBI all pay the author of a fake dossier to muddy up Donald Trump, your president, who appointed you, Mr. Attorney General, which dossier was presumably used by Jim Comey once he dropped it on the president's desk as a basis for a FISA application that could then be used to surveil Americans associated with Trump, which Americans were then illegally unmasked by the 17 intelligence agencies who themselves were suddenly unmasked, thus creating a kangaroo third world justice system where money, power, and the FBI are joined at the hip. And if that isn't worth looking at, then I'm from Mars. And if you did watch that hearing, did you even get a straight answer from the Attorney General? Does he even know
retarded.
The parameters of his own recusal? So how and when are we going to get answers? We already know it takes years for Congress to get responses. Predictions are that the release of Hillary's State Department and Benghazi emails won't be completed until 2020. Now, that's no way to run a government, but it's a real way to hide the truth, or at least cut the guilty a break. It's no wonder the Congress's approval rating is 15%, its disapproval 74%. So what needs to be done? In a few minutes, you'll hear from two congressmen determined to get answers. They believe they can successfully and in a timely fashion investigate and get answers. They will subpoena witnesses, bring people in to do depositions, ask for documents, do public hearings, but it must be on a timely schedule. None of this. Ask for a document, wait 3 months, not get the document. 6 months later, consider a subpoena. Wait until the subpoena comes or doesn't come. Basically, running out the scandal clock. The congressional committees need to be supported by leadership, congressional leadership. That means Paul Ryan, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell. They need to buck up, take responsibility, and get everyone on board. Leadership needs to be in full agreement with committee members, willing to go the distance, willing to go wherever that evidence takes them. And as for the witness who brought Russia's corrupt efforts to pay off whomever they needed to access the United States uranium to the FBI and was then gagged so he couldn't spill the beans on the Clintons, well, he's now going to talk to Congress. There's already an effort to discredit him, which I find rather amusing, given the fact that this businessman was a key witness for the Department of Justice and the FBI, and the left that's attacking him hasn't even heard from him. I don't believe the left can even handle the truth. Now, those same two congressmen are going to tell you that they intend to ask the president to declassify the very application that was used to get the FISA warrant during the campaign. This will tell us whether the dossier created by Hillary and the DNC, and we believe paid for by the FBI as well, is part of the fake FISA application that created the surveillance of Donald Trump and those people connected to the campaign. So to those who say another special counsel serves no purpose, this must stop, I say baloney. I say law and order and truth and justice are the very foundations of this republic. and I am tired of the powerful and the Clintons being above the law that each and every one of us must follow. But Hillary says...
This appears to be the politicization of the Justice Department and our justice system. This Uranium One story has been debunked countless times by members of the press, by independent experts. It is nothing but a false charge. This is such an abuse of power, and it goes right at the rule of law.
Pray tell, Hillary, first of all, who's debunked it? The truth, Hillary is from the school of lie, deny, and delay. She and the Obama administration have thwarted Congress at every turn. Investigations are drawn out for so long that America's collective memory fades to the point where no one really cares anymore, which is just what the plan was in the first place. Look, I was a judge. It's real simple. If someone is subpoenaed and there's no response, you hold that person in contempt. You take a look at the facts, you prosecute, and if justified, you put them in jail. We have a system of laws that we, as an ordered society, have agreed to adopt, follow, and enforce. And even though I'm not on the bench anymore, and even though I'm not the DA anymore, I am going to continue to fight to get honest answers. I don't like when people lie, and I don't like when people try to take
Thank
advantage
you.
Of others. Now, I'm going to tell you, my audience, I've gotten some major pushback from people. But I'm still a believer. I still believe in truth and justice. The Department of Justice is the last resort, and I'm still a believer. And that's my open. Tell me what you think on my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram, hashtag Judge Jeanine.
Now we're going to talk to an expert about what all of this means.
This is Liz Wheeler.
Joining me now, former CIA officer and candidate for the United States Senate, Sam Faddis. Sam, thanks for coming on the show.
Great to be here, Liz. Thank you very much.
All right, Sam, this is quite a story, and I want to start just with half of my question. The first half of this is, if the Obama administration knew about the corruption, these bribery plots, extortion coming from the Russians, and they did, both the FBI under President Obama and the Department of Justice knew, as we learned from these documents that were recently released, how could they and why would they continue to approve the sale of such a large chunk, 20% of the uranium in the United States?
Well, I mean, the short answer is there's no good reason, right? I mean, this stinks of corruption and collusion. And if you're an American of whatever political persuasion and you care about the integrity of this country, you ought to be terrified at the implications, because we sold critical assets and ignored the fact that the Russians were involved in all sorts of nefarious activities. And then the FBI, in effect, sat on this for years, sat on this. All of this, of course, occurring against the backdrop of the fact that there are these continuing allegations, unsubstantiated, that the problem here is somehow Trump and the Russians. And in fact, there are millions and millions of dollars from Russia connected directly to the Clintons.
Right. And I mean, there's so many points about this story that need to be made. I hardly know where to start. But first of all, I want to make one thing very clear. The FBI knew. They were fully aware. And in these documents, there is proof that they were aware that high-level Russian officials had a plot to infiltrate U.S. nuclear entities. They were fully aware. This was a coordinated effort by the Russians to get access to our nuclear assets, to use the word that you use. Second of all, so this is not naivete on the part of the Obama administration that it might be some other actor that was simply associated with the Russians. This was planned and plotted by the Russian government. Second of all, that brings us to, that timeline that you're talking about. From 2009, that's when the FBI first learned about this. 2010, that's when the Department of Justice first learned about this. The investigation continued for the next 4 years before we found out anything about it. I mean, we're only recently learning about it. But for the next 4 years, this investigation was underway. And during that time was when the Obama administration's State Department approved the sale of that uranium. Why would they keep this secret for so long from the public? Why wouldn't they even tell Congress?
Again, there's no good reason. I mean, typically the FBI, with an investigation like this, there's going to be a race for them to call a press conference and take credit for it. and you're going to read it on the front page of every newspaper. Well, obviously, there was a presidential election underway. I mean, we went through an election, and Hillary Clinton was a candidate, and she's directly tied to all of this. Back to one of the first points you threw out, it's not just that the FBI had evidence, because they obviously did, I mean, concrete evidence. They had confidential informers. They pursued and obtained indictments, and they put people in prison as a result of this investigation. This is all hard fact that was then, as far as I can tell, covered up. And one other point worth mentioning, the guy running the FBI during this whole time frame is the same guy who now is supposedly conducting an impartial investigation of Donald Trump and his alleged ties to Russia.
Right, Robert Mueller. Okay. He was head of the FBI during this time. It's almost chilling to think about that. All right, so the other aspect of this, and perhaps this is where the politics really come to the surface here. President Obama was president at the time, Democrat. His Secretary of State was Hillary Clinton, as we know. During this time, there are eyewitness accounts and documentation.
This whole thing, this is what my immediate take on all this. They're slaughtering us. This is not you, Lori. This is what's being presented to us by these operatives. That what you're seeing here is a very thorough and complex Central Intelligence Agency psychological operation with two sides of the same. And I'll tell you how I came to this conclusion listening to this piece. Notice how the commentator, both of them, kept pigeonholing the argument back to bad Russian, bad Ruski, bad.
Right.
But it's bad Russian with Clinton. It's not bad Russian with Trump. But it's still bad Russian.
Hold on.
But
I agree. But we need to let them hear it out so we can debunk what we've got. Because I'm already there. But we need to let it play out. So we can then debunk some certain issues.
Okay, good.
Because I know what you're talking about.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead and finish playing that clip, Mike, please.
President Obama was president at the time, Democrat. His Secretary of State was Hillary Clinton, as we know. During this time, there are eyewitness accounts and documentation, both, all you need for proof here, that say that these same Russian nuclear officials who plotted and planned with the Russian government to infiltrate U.S. nuclear entities, they sent millions and millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, vast sums. I've seen numbers as high as something like $145 million. They handed $500,000 directly to Bill Clinton under the pretext that he gave a single speech in Moscow. Back to this comparison to these specious allegations against Donald Trump, which have no substance and nobody can even define what they are.
Oh, poor dictator.
Okay, and we'll be back. We will be back right after a couple words from our sponsors, and then we'll finish playing the clip, and then we're going to do a little bit of debunking on certain issues. Hang with us.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Like a storm growing across the horizon, there's a reckoning coming.
And welcome back to Freedom Stream Radio with Eric Hughes Jones, and I am co-host Lori Anderson. We were discussing the amazing things that were said by Judge Jeanine and by Liz Wheeler, and they were calling out Jeff Sessions. They were also calling out the connections of the Obama administration, the Clinton administration.
That part was good. Yeah,
that part was good. And even though we do need to finish that clip, and then we're going to destroy some of that fake narrative that Eric jumped in earlier and was talking about. I was already on that one, Eric. I feel you, and I know that our listeners do too. But we have to hear what they say so that we can thoroughly do this, because we always love educating people and showing them just how to pick this propaganda out. So if you would, Mike, please continue playing that clip. And we will jump in right afterwards.
Specious allegations against Donald Trump, which have no substance and nobody can even define what they are. This is concrete evidence, stacks of evidence of conspiracy, criminal activity, buying influence, penetrating U.S. strategic resources, effectively ignored and shoved under the rug for years.
Right, and the crime here, and this is even taking the Clintons out of it. Everyone who watches the show knows my opinion on whether or not Hillary Clinton is a criminal, and I believe that she did break the law and should have been held accountable for it. But even taking her out of this picture for one moment, this was a crime committed by these Russian officials. We should never have sold, that should never have been approved, that sale of that uranium, because doing this type of thing, and we knew about it, the FBI knew about it in 2009, providing kickbacks, bribes to this nuclear trucking company, that violates the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. That is a crime, and they should have been prosecuted, and they shouldn't have been allowed to conduct business in our country after committing that crime.
Well, 100%. As you've noted, and we've had this conversation before, because of the fact that the uranium is a strategic asset, this sale, leaving aside the trucking firm, the sale of the uranium ore, 20% of our reserves, actually had to be formally approved by this body, this federal commission, on which Hillary Clinton sat, as well as the Attorney General Holder sat. They had to formally chop off on this, take an affirmative action to allow this to go forward. So against the backdrop of everything you're talking about, which is this documented, long-running investigation of corruption and kickbacks and bribes, that sale was allowed to go forward.
Right, I mean, and it also debunks
really of corruption.
Right, it also debunks Hillary Clinton's defense. She's defended the money that the Clinton Foundation has accepted from Russia or Russian-linked entities before by saying, no, it wasn't pay-to-play, it wasn't paying off for right. favors for her approving this deal. She said because, and her excuse was because she said Russia had nothing, the Russian government had nothing to do with the purchase or the sale of the stores of the uranium, the 20% of uranium. Well, this story debunks that. We see that it's all intricately tied together. And make no mistake, Hillary Clinton knew that all along. Sam, thanks for coming on the show and breaking it down. I appreciate it.
All right. So with that being said, I have this point to make. Why in the world does she want to make it as if it's bad Russia? Bad Russia. No one can blame Russia for doing smart business. You can blame the U.S. government and the FBI and the White House for being corrupt.
I don't blame the Russians either. If they're like, hey, if you're stupid enough to give us all your precious minerals, I guess we'll take
right.
it.
Exactly. So the only
Idiots.
Ones that should be charged that put our national security possibly at risk, the big old Russia boogeyman, which we know and have debunked 50 million times on this show, the only ones that should be held accountable are the ones within our United States government that passed this and had to do with this at all. Russia, really? You're going to say Russia committed a crime because they're doing smart business because idiots in the U.S. government were corrupt enough to violate the RICO Act because they wanted a $145 million donation to their private foundation, which, by the way, when you check the IRS filing for the Clinton Foundation, it is only for libraries. They can only accept donations for their library. Where did that happen? Why are crimes not being done? Why is their tax-exempt status not being pulled? Because it's supposed to only be for a library. So why in the world someone wants to sit there and propagandize and make Russia the bad guy again because they're playing smarter, not harder? It's not their fault that we've got people that are sitting in these offices that obviously don't have a brain cell amongst all of them. If they're going to do that, if you claim that Russia is such a big bad guy, then why in the heck are you selling uranium to them? I'm just saying. Why are you giving bombs? Oh, that's right. Those WMDs with Saddam Hussein, the same ones that our government gave to him, right?
Well,
the same
the
Osama bin Laden that was sitting in the White House with the presidents. Let's get real, people. They want the boogeyman to exist so that you have the fear so they can have more money for coming out of our pockets in order to line their illegal wars, and that's just the way it is. Now, the reason I wanted to play this, though, is number one, you need to know how to recognize the propaganda within the part of the truth. The truth is they are finally getting at least putting some pressure on the uranium one thing, which is going to be very helpful to our patriots that sit in prison right now for defending their lives against an out-of-control, corrupt government. And that is the bottom line on that. Now, Eric, we do have two callers, so I want to go ahead and take, they've been waiting patiently. Jim, how are you doing tonight? And what are your thoughts on what we've been covering?
Okay, I'll try to get through this as quick as I can. I'm in total agreement with Chris. Let's talk about terms. You were talking about your 44.
45.
Or 45, I'm sorry. That is an arm, and that is your protector.
Yes, it is. Well, it's a tool used. It is a tool used to protect me. It's not my protector.
Well, okay.
It can't protect me by itself.
Right. But to simplify things.
Assistant protector.
Protection. That is your
protection. Yes. I use that in protection, yes.
Because because protection is a defensive term.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then let's talk about, and I hate when everybody does this, we say the government. Well, why don't we say our neighbors and fellow countrymen that are paid by we Americans and entrusted to protect our rights, because that's who these people are. They're our neighbors. They might be our friends. They're our fellow countrymen. They're not a separate entity from us.
Well, actually, they are, because the United States is a corporation and it is not the people. The real government is the people.
Okay, but in front of a jury, this will be a different look.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand where I'm coming from.
Okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, enough with that. The Uranium One deal did not the lands of the Hammonds, aren't they full of uranium?
Yes, sir. It's directly connected with what happened in Oregon. It is directly also connected with what happened at the Bundy Ranch itself as well. Yes, sir. If you go back and look in the archives for October the 25th, we name names and shell companies. It exposes all of it.
The Oregon thing, the Nevada thing, the Mike and Pete and Tom Lacovara all bunched in, are all, and Uranium One, it's all linked together.
Including Lavoie Finicum's assassination.
Yep.
Right. Now,
it's all a material grab and a resource grab by the globalists selling our stuff to make us dependent upon other foreign powers and entities and arm our enemies in an effort, if they ever have to take down this country in the hard way, then they'll have to use the Chinese and the Russians to do it, because they've already transferred all our technology over to them.
Right. Well, and I don't want to take up too much time, but are you all familiar with, he's a former CIA guy that has been coming out. I think his last name might be Steele. Are you all familiar with him?
Robert Steele?
I think it's Robert Steele. And I've got questions about Robert Steele.
Okay.
However, he made, he was interviewed the other day, and it was out on YouTube. And he said, look, the Russians have absolutely no need for uranium. They've got all the uranium they'll ever need. He said, what happened is that Putin played to the greed of the Clintons and the Obamas and set them up. And now Trump's got everything he needs.
Well, it's not so much
my theory is this. You can't be set up if you have a high moral standard and you refuse to go along with the unlawful actions.
Well,
he needed it. He wanted to deprive us of having it.
Well, that's a play. But do you think that that would be the only play?
There's multiple layers.
Oh, no, there's a lot of layers, but it also goes along with UN Agenda 21 of getting the American people off of certain sections of the land. It also links back to the United Nations. It links back to Agenda 2030. It links back to a lot of things.
Well, the Russians are known for being big-time chess players. And let me tell you, I don't know Putin personally, but let me tell you, he's one heck of a chess player. And I have no doubt that was part of the deal where he said, yeah, you know, I got these guys, I got them. They just want money. They just want money, and they'll sell their country out. And I don't doubt that, because that seems to be what has actually happened is that they didn't care. They're just looking for money. And yeah, the Russians didn't need it, but yeah, okay. So you're going to offer us up 20% of your country's uranium? Sure, we'll take it.
By the way,
idiot.
While we import uranium, by the way.
So anyway, no, it's very interesting what's going on. It just never ceases to amaze me how things are happening so fast. Yeah, as far as terminology, yeah, let's change the terminology. Let's get it back into our control instead of their control. And, you know, this uranium run one stuff, it's all over the board. I can't believe, I think Sessions is so tied up because, Rosenstein, he needs to be the one that recuses himself because he's
Mueller.
Part of the deal.
There's a lot of them that are a part of that deal.
I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, listen, I appreciate your program, and I'll just listen in.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call. Now we have Dave. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Hi. Is it Laurie?
It is Laurie, yes.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Laurie. Hey, I just... I completely support the Bundys and everything, but that's not why I called. I was just I called last night. I was talking to Eric, and after my call, I wasn't able to get through again, either on the caller line or the listen line. So, but I did figure out how we got our wires crossed last night. I don't know. I couldn't hear the rest of the show, so I don't know if it was ever figured out how we got our wires crossed. But, Eric, can you hear me now okay?
Yes, sir.
Is Eric there?
Again, yes. Yep, I can hear you very well.
Yeah,
I got
Eric,
a little bit of echo on my end, but I can hear you.
Yeah, I couldn't hear the rest of the show last night. I was going to call in also and tell you about the pictograms. Those drawings on the caves are called pictograms. But anyways, I don't know if you figured it out already, but after my call last night, I said, what the heck happened to that call? And I mean, well, what happened, Eric? And first off, let me ask you, so we don't get all fouled up again. Have you ever heard of the Power of Prophecy Ministries by Pastor Tex Mars, not Jim Mars, Tex Mars from Austin, Texas?
I think I'm not really, but I may have recently come across a couple of their things online that they had posted vaguely. But tell me more if you want to.
Oh, yeah, well, I was talking about Tex-Mars, and it was Jim Mars who died.
I got you now,
really
right? We figured that out.
What really led to the confusion, I probably would have picked up on it right away, well, how we were getting confused that we had the wrong Mars. But what really led to the confusion, when Jim Mars died, Tex-Mars almost died. He had a massive heart attack. And he came so close to dying. So I thought maybe you had just heard that Tex had had a massive heart attack.
I figured you were talking about the gym. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, see, it's Tex-Mars who wrote this big book called Codex Magica.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that book?
I've not read Codex Magica yet, but I imagine it's a decent expose of the New World Order and this Luciferian connection.
No, what it is, an expose of all these furtive, secretive, occult hand signals and gestures that the Freemasons and the Illuminati uses, like the 666. Symbol and
Trump's doing it.
So, anyways,
so is his daughter.
Huh?
Okay, gentlemen, if you would just 1 second, I just wanted to read this, and then I'll leave the rest of the show to y'all to finish that conversation. But everybody needs to hear this, so please stay on the line, Dave. Okay, don't go anywhere. I just need to let everybody know this. Tom Lack of Error Stewart, who, of course, was host of Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio Broadcast, who has been released to Halfway House and who we miss very, very much. He put a message out on November the 14th, and I want to read it to everybody really quick so that you know, because this is a message to his listeners. And he put this out on Facebook for everybody to know. So this is what he says. Hello, folks. This is Tom. I am still in Oregon, but out of federal jail. God bless all of you who stood with us. I stood my ground and never wavered in my commitment to the Liberty Movement or my friends. I am pleased to hear that Ryan Bundy was released to a halfway house, as was I. My prayers are with all of the political prisoners who are still standing tall. May the Lord Jesus Christ be with them and all of you. Out of respect for a promise I made, I cannot comment on much regarding the standoff or the Bundy Ranch, nor would it be my place to do so until such time as I have had a chance to speak with Ryan and to my wife. The Resurrect the Republic radio show will return soon. I will not be or get involved in infighting that threatens to divide and conquer. That being said, I will, when I can, offer direct evidence from my discovery to show exactly who was, who, and what was what. The many lies have been told about several of us. Some were intentional, and some because others honestly believed them. I made a promise to my wife and to the folks in Pahrump that I would respect them and keep the focus on what was more important, however, which is their freedom and them getting back to their families. Bundy Ranch, God bless Lavoie and his family. My thoughts and prayers continue to be with them. My special thanks to Eric and Lori Anderson for keeping the show going and for their love and support. Thank you, guys. I've really missed you. And that's the words from Tom.
Excellent. Oh, good. He'll be back soon. He's going to, yep.
So, okay, Dave, I apologize that I had to cut in, but I had to make sure that the listeners and you heard that as well.
I'm glad you got that in. You could have brought that up sooner if you wanted to. We need to know what's going on with Tom. Of course, his phone privileges are going to be minimal right now. Otherwise, I'm sure he'd be happily broadcasting if he could get, but I know these halfway houses, they don't allow you any 2 hours on the phone. So I'm sure the broadcasting is difficult for now, but I'll change for the better in the near future. So with that, let's get back briefly. Do we have another caller after Dave, or how much time do we have, and how many people do we have lined up?
No, I believe that
Dave... All right, Dave, so let's talk about the hands. All right, yeah, the Masonic hand sign. I just wanted to point out that Prince Harry, who's the heir to the throne of England, one of the most powerful big block stockholders in the world, is doing the devil's horn. And the woman from the body language expert over at the Huffington Post said, oh, it's okay. It's just the devil's horn. No biggie. Don't sweat it. He's just warding off the evil spirits with the devil's horn. You got to be kidding me. If she's stupid enough to believe that, I guess she's right where she should be at the Huffington Post. Perfect fit. Boy, right. You're going to claim that you're going to pretend that him doing the devil sign is somehow against the devil. We know it's very well a clear, overt sign that he's part of the Illuminati and bragging that he's with that whole Luciferian gang of pedophile rapists and other scumbags. Prince Harry, the only thing Harry is his face, and hopefully he'll you know, God will get him. We'll be sure of that. We got 2 or 3 minutes left. Yeah. Do you want a quick one? I'll give you one more minute, Dave. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, and then they get the handshakes too and everything. But no, this is
sure.
This is and I just want to comment more on like Prince Harry and everything. But you know what? It also would add to the confusion, Eric, is both Jim Mars and Tex Mars were from the same state of Texas.
I got it.
Just. I don't know what Jim Mars died of, if Jim died of a heart attack, but Tex also had a massive heart attack and almost died. In fact, it's so serious, his health situation is, he's passed the mantle on to Jerry Barrett, his longtime assistant, and he's kind of like Tex is going into semi-retirement for health reasons.
Okay.
But
say, do you think it was a Mossad heart attack?
Yeah. All right. Listen, thanks for the call, Dave. Dave, thanks for the call. Check in with us later this week. I want to cover one more story before we close out for the night. I'm going to see if I can pull this up successfully on my screen here.
All right. So tomorrow night we will be covering Roy Moore updates. You will not want to miss this. As we have said before, I am, and many people know, I am not Republican or Democrat or left or right or whatever you want to call it. I am for the truth, however. And it was very suspicious the way the accusations came out about Roy Moore. Well, he has all the signs of someone who is innocent because he is standing up. He's saying absolutely he did not do this. Well, there's some more interesting information coming out tomorrow. So please make
Lori,
that you stay with us and join. Yes.
Man, I appreciate you covering for me. They dropped me right as I was going to this story. This must be a big one that they don't want me reporting. So Toronto City Councilor, we're going to try one more minute here and then we'll pick it up again tomorrow night. Toronto City Councilor Mike Layton has put forward a motion to pursue UNESCO designation for the Great Lakes. If successful, the 10-year process would make the freshwater system the world's largest biosphere recognized by the United Nations. Our ecosystems, we're going to cover this more. Our ecosystems are under threat like never before, said Layton, referring to the Great Lakes region. By doing this, we hope we will draw international attention to the Great Lakes. He continued, adding he also hopes it will highlight the importance of the issue to other levels of government. Oh, boy. Well, I wonder what those other levels of government are that they're not specifying. There are 669 recognized UNESCO biospheres. The program provides access to global best practices for conservation, conflict resolution. Oh, boy, conflict resolution. They'll be playing both sides of that. And integrating cultural and biological diversity. Canada currently has 18 recognized biosphere reserves, including the Niagara Escarpment, the Bay of Fundy, and the Thousand Islands. The design is meant to bring more awareness to ecologically sensitive areas. The Great Lakes are particularly vulnerable to environmental and political shocks. Wonder what the hell that means, political
shocks.
Let
me tell you what that is, Eric, because that's what they use for all of the state parks. That's what they use for these quote-unquote federal parks. I know I've got to talk fast. This is how they implement UN Agenda 21. Everybody is under UNESCO. All of our national monuments, they do it, marking it as a national monument. They turn it over to the quote-unquote World Heritage Sites, which becomes under the control of UNESCO. Look it up. We need to fight this. And as always, everybody, hopefully we will hear from you and see you tomorrow. As always, watch your backs, check your facts. Simplified Ellis, and have a wonderful night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks to everybody, Mike, Gary, Chris, all the callers, John, Lamb, and thank you, Lori. Appreciate it. We'll see you all tomorrow on the RPN Network.
Y'all have a blessed night.
This winter night with you.